Welcome to the podcast of Data and Analytics in Business. We'll learn from the leading industry experts using data and analytics to solve the problems and create values in practice. We'll also learn where the industry is heading to and how data and analytics will shape the industry in the future. Most importantly, how they are preparing their business for digital transformation and disruption in the future. I'm your host, Jason Tan, and thank you for listening. In this episode, we have Robert Bromach. Robert is the founder and the CEO of IntelliHR. It is an Australian technology company that provides the cloud-based people management platform to the business worldwide to manage the end-to-end process and using data and analytics to drive the people performance. Robert will share with us a lot about how to use the software as a framework to guide the continuous conversation with your team and employee, as well as building the right culture. Once you have done that and capturing the right data, you could then start looking at the sentimental analysis to understand the people happiness within the organization, the staff retention analysis, such as what drives people to leave the company. Could it be the channel of how they are recruited? And many few other use cases. Once you have figured out all those things, you will then be able to know how to improve the people performance using analytics. Obviously, the end result of that is a business performance improvement. If you want to understand how to use software and analytics and data to improve your people performance, this is the episode that you're not to miss. As always, if you have any question for me or Robert, please feel free to send us a message using the Anchor message. And lastly, if you like what you are listening, don't forget to subscribe and give us a review. Thank you very much. Hi, Rob. Thank you so much for coming to the Analytic Show podcast. I'm really excited to have you here. And today we're going to be talking a lot about the people analytic and perhaps also about the predictive modeling being used in the people analytic and what you guys are doing at the IntelliHR end-to-end process.
Thanks for having me, Jason. Looking forward to chatting.
I'm going to start live with the conversation and talk a little bit about your career because I find it really interesting. So you were a bank manager at the beginning phase of your career. So from there, what made you or your attention turn towards to the human capital management?
Yeah, sure. Unfortunately, I'm probably old enough, too old, that HR actually wasn't a discipline at university when I did my degree. So my first degree was a Bachelor of Business Management, but always very focused in around people and HR. Yeah, career with banking. I'm a very numbers literate type of person. So that was quite a natural sort of career progression out of school, but managed to make the transition properly into the HR sphere. And I got a lot of excitement when I actually joined, would you believe, the Australian Army Reserve. So In my banking career, I was posted to Townsville in Queensland, joined the Army and actually went through their officer training program. To get into their officer training program, I had to go through a two-day selection, I suppose, assessment process and got introduced to assessment centres and all the tooling that they actually used to select the officers. And there was everything from cognitive abilities tests through to practical applications and so forth. And I got very interested in that. So decided to pursue a career more into the selection and the human capital space.
So you have quite an entrepreneurial flair. At what point or what are the forces that you compel you to start your own people management company?
That's interesting. I think all through my career, I've always had something that's sort of driving me to progress and to be successful in a manner of speaking. I was 23 years old when I became a bank manager, which was quite sort of young, and particularly in those sort of days. When I moved into a consulting space in HR, it was building my own business as well. I always just had this thing in me where I'd like to build businesses and see them grow and flourish. And, you know, that's kind of just followed me all the way through my career. So IntelliHR as a software application is my second formal business. But APRG, the human resource capital management business, that was my first business that I actually started on my own.
Tell us a bit about your first venture, APRG. What was the vision behind the organization and how successful have you been in turning that vision into a reality?
At the time, I was enjoying what I was actually doing and building predictive models for performance and retention for businesses, doing validation studies in around their hiring and people management sort of processes. And it just came to the right time where I was ready to start my own business and launched APRG. You know, one by one, I added customers. And you know, certainly, it's been running now for 15 years and still runs. I don't work within that business any longer, but it was always about actually working to help people advance their careers, find the right roles, perform well in the roles that they're actually in, making sure that they've got the support around them to be successful as well. So a bit of an adage there is everybody shows up to do a good job, and it's what you do with them when they're at work, you know, depends on how successful or not they are at. So, you know, working around that space and working around people was something I've always been very passionate about.
How APRG helped in founding Intel HR, which is something that we will be talking a lot more later.
Yeah, no, look, the work we're doing was building predictive models for performance retention. So it was doing time and motion studies, looking at what performance looked like in different roles in businesses and understanding the attributes of people, but also the attributes that the business needs to, you know, support people to be successful. And what I quickly found was the best piece of data I could actually get in around a person's performance in most businesses was an annual rating, you know, on their performance review. And to have a once a year snapshot of someone's performance really isn't very good data to build models from. So I built the tools to collect continuous data, basically. So in some regards, been playing with continuous feedback, for example, for about 10, 12 years now. And so looking at feedback, qualitative feedback from staff members, but from leaders and training facilitators and so forth, to really start to create an overall picture of a performance of a person, how they're going, how they're tracking, do they have expectations sort of set, what achievements have had, those kind of things, and using that qualitative data to actually help enrich the models for performance and retention. So that work started to build software tools so I could actually, you know, look at an employee's transition over time in their business in through dashboards, and ultimately decided to turn the product around and actually provide it to businesses in a way that they could actually use to better manage their people, look after their people. So it kind of started from that perspective of what drives performance, what information do you need to know to course correct and help people? And then it turned into a little bit more of a broader product that now is an end-to-end people management solution, looks after people from the minute you employ them to the minute you terminate them, and helps actually identify opportunities to improve and areas where people are doing things really well.
Tell us a bit more about the IntelliHR. What makes it different from other players in the industry?
Yeah, I think, and again, we, I suppose, started it effectively in 2014. So incorporated the company in December of 2013, but started building the platform in 2014. Beta tested it through 2015 and launched publicly in, I think it was August 2016, it got into the market. But essentially, it's a people management platform. So it basically gives a staff member or a team member everything they need to understand what's expected of them in their role, all their basic data from personal details all the way through to their job history, but more importantly, it gives them their goals and tools to connect them in feedback with their leader and peers, and performance summary reports, I suppose, are probably more the simple things that actually happen within the actual system, but more broadly speaking, transferring information and data up to the people that need it or through the organization, be it a leader or an executive or even the person themselves, so that they've got a real-time watch on how things are actually tracking within the business.
Before we go on to the details of that data and analytic about in your space and what the IntelliHR, I want to ask, what type of organization do you and IntelliHR typically serve though?
If you employ people, you kind of need our system. It's kind of the world that we sort of live in. A lot of businesses that come onto our platform actually have no technology looking after their people outside of payroll. So essentially, we've got businesses that employ, you know, as little as 20 people, and they care about their people. They want to know that they've got the tools to help them perform independently, through to, you know, businesses that we're onboarding now in the 4,000 sort of, you know, plus employees. businesses that can't see their workforce get a lot of value out of our tools because it's allowing them to give people what they need to know so they can get on and get their jobs done, but be able to be contributing and collaborating and around that person's performance on an ongoing basis. We do have a lot of customers that are operating geographically around the world. So we're now in 18 countries with our application, and a good number of our customers operate in multiple countries. So tools to be able to align the business at a strategic level, you know, with what people need to focus on and how they should orientate their contribution to the business. You know, we provide all of that. So we're industry agnostic. It doesn't matter if you're a mining company or a professional services law firm, or, you know, you're a group of medical practices, all the way through to, you know, accountants and so forth. Yeah, we can look after any business as such. Yeah.
So earlier on, you mentioned that you learned that the annual rating is not a good indicator for the people performance, but rather it's about that continuous cycle of the feedback and also the data collection. Can you bring us and tell us a little bit more details and how does it work and what sort of data do you believe has to be continuously collected in order to manage the people performance then?
That's an interesting point, because it's probably not the data collection, it's the facilitation of meaningful conversations. And when you look at performance of a person, it's just knowing what is actually expected of them and knowing how they need to do something. You know, so as human beings, like I was sort of saying before, everybody shows up to work to do a good job. It's how you treat them or what you do with them at work that determines the outcome. So in that regards, our application is around giving leaders and team members tools to better identify what's expected of them in their job and the things around them, then to help if they need help to complete a task, the learning and development identification in the first instance, but then access to the tools that can actually help them learn what they actually need to do a decent job. So in the first instance, it's actually how do you create that meaningful conversation and that connection where people are actually openly talking. There's a bit of psychology in that as well, where, you know, if you do look at it, and I'm a big avid fan of David Rock. I don't know if you've ever seen any of his work, but when you do look at communication, if two people know what they're going to talk about, you know, they'll talk about it quite easily and then move forward. But if two people go to a meeting not knowing why they're actually there or what they're actually going to talk about, their position that they start their conversation is more in a defensive position, you know, and they're not informed. So the quality of that conversation is not going to be as good as if they knew. So our continuous feedback processes that we have in our application are all about helping people know what they're actually going to talk about, providing them a framework that's actually meaningful to the both of them in that regards, where they're going to get some value out of it. And so it's not so much about data collection, it's about how do you tool someone to get better value out of what they're actually doing. And it's without sounding over the top, but it's then how do you harvest that information and make meaning of it for the enterprise so that they can actually see opportunities to improve things and even opportunities to share things that are going really well with the rest of the business. Some of our data analytics tools, you know, such as predictor sentiment analysis and keyword analysis is about being able to en masse, you know, make sense of that information that's actually flowing within the organization so that they can actually improve things and support people better, basically.
So I suppose that application itself is about systemize the treatment of the staff and to carry out that conversation in terms of the what is expected of them, then is about facilitating them.
Yeah, it facilitates the conversations by asking the right questions of a team member and sharing that with the leader. And, you know, on that basis, if you're a leader and you receive some information from a staff member about their happiness, how they're tracking with their role, what they've done that they're proud of, and, you know, where they need some help and support, it presses different buttons in the leader. You know, the leader then goes, well, oh, I'm really sad that that person's not as happy today, or they're not themselves, and I want to help them. And let's see what I can do to make things better for them, or they've done something, you know, that they're really proud of. It's a really great opportunity to celebrate that success and talk about that. You know, so it's providing a basic framework, you know, for decent conversations that actually help improve performance and improve the connection between the leader and the team member so that they stay on track with alignment and keep moving forward with what's expected of them in their roles. Like I said, everyone comes to work to do a good job. So it's just helping them continue to do that. And, you know, when people need help, help them. You know, I don't believe in rating systems where you're rating someone on a scale of 1 to 5 and there are 2 or there are 3 or they're below expectations or anything like that. It's they're either doing a good job or they need help too. So it's thinking about people in that light, basically, is what we really try to do to help our customers.
Having been done that, how do the analytic come into the picture to facilitate the insight of all of those information for the business leader and the C-suite or the manager in order to improve or manage the people performance then?
In part, for a lot of our customers, low-hanging fruit is just initiating those conversations, because a lot of businesses, they don't have those conversations. So that's probably one of the first things that, you know, we support businesses with. But this is where it gets really exciting, because traditionally, I think analytics has very much been the numbers, you know, the raw quantitative data and so forth. And, you know, we've been for a very long time passionate about qualitative information. And then when you start to look at the latest technologies in around natural language processing and natural language generation, there's a lot of tools that you can use to make more sense of qualitative data. So for a business, it's about looking at different tools across that qualitative data, so people's feedback, and how can we surface the important data to the top. So, you know, one of the concepts I do talk to a little bit is intelligence augmentation, and we're using AI-based tools to enhance, I suppose, a decision maker, not make the decisions for them, is really what we're actually trying to do with the data analytics and the insights that we're generating. So we want to give people information so they can go and explore and look into something and make a decision if they actually need to act on it or not. So it's using predictive sentiment analysis to look at highly negative things to surface them out. Hey, there could be a problem here because, you know, we've seen something negative surface. And if you look at a business that might employ people around the world, to know that someone might be being bullied or being harassed in the workplace and it's surfacing through particular feedback tools, the business can actually be more preventative and proactive around getting involved to resolve something. You know, likewise, really highly positive information or sentiments sort of flowing through, looking at what's causing that and looking at rewarding and sharing whatever is actually going on there. So it's using tools like that, predictive sentiment analysis, but also keyword analysis to see what themes are actually trending in a business to give a business a different set of data and a different set of information that's more about their greatest asset, which is their people, that they can actually respond to proactively in real time and do things with.
The intelligence augmentation that you just mentioned is really interesting. I read a bit of where you talk about this thing on an article that you wrote. Can you please go into a little bit more details about this, in terms of what is this and how and why is it different from artificial intelligence?
It is actually leveraging artificial intelligence, but it's actually, to a certain extent, it's drawing a line in the sand. So it's augmenting a human. So it's providing information and insights to a person so they make a decision to do something. Where AI specifically and where people are pushing that is, you know, like self-driving tools. So cars, for example, the cars are making the decision in terms of when they brake, when they accelerate, where they turn and so forth. So a human's not making the critical decision. So from an intelligence augmentation perspective, and probably a simple way to put it is we're surfacing the information so that it's augmenting the capability of the human to make a better decision, basically, but still respecting the fact that a person is making a decision on the information that's being provided, and we're giving them all the content related to how we've actually identified something. So in the case of a highly negative sentiment score, for example, this is the negative sentiment score, this is the person, this is the information where we've actually derived this decision from, you know, using our AI tools, and you make a decision if you need to do something with that or not, you know, so the application's not going ahead and changing something, you know, on the back of its diagnosis, so to speak.
Right. Now, the other thing that you mentioned about the sentimental analysis being done using the analytic, I suppose my question for you then is, in terms of that sentimental analysis, I suppose my challenge that I'm trying to get my head around is then, the data collection, well, maybe not in the sense of data collection, but it's more about capturing that information from the people on the ground. The emotion and the sentimental of the people on the ground, it very much vary and it changes daily depending on what challenges that they are facing. Whereas when it comes to the people performance, as you were saying, the annual rating is only done once a year. So as much as we can try to do it as frequently as possible, it would still at any point at a time. And that is always a little bit disconnected to what the people are facing and doing at almost at a millisecond basis. How do those two things get joined up to make sense of it in terms of understanding their sentimental and hence the business leaders, they can rely on this sentimental analysis to gauge a good idea about that will play into the factor of the performance then?
Yeah, it's a complex one actually, and you can go in all sorts of direction around where data comes from. Obviously, privacy, we're not interested in scanning people's emails or their Slack or Microsoft Teams, you know, communications or anything like that. IntelliHR is about understanding, you know, I suppose people's sentiment in the notion of work and performance. So specifically, we're supporting them through check-ins, through health and wellness, you know, check-ins as well on a regular basis, but also through any process or interaction in around performance. So it could be even in around a goal, we're actually leveraging the data there. So it's looking at capturing information in the flow of work, but in the context of performance and interactions between leaders and team members or team members and their peers or just anything related to performance is really where we've decided to focus. And in that context, the type of information that you're actually working with is pure HR-related information, and it's pure people performance management, and it's not straying into people's personal lives. I would agree to a certain extent you could say that they themselves are snapshots in time, but most businesses are doing wellness checks, you know, once a week. They're doing a formal one-on-one catch-up continuous feedback process once a month. They're interacting in their goals, sometimes on a daily basis. And, you know, we have chat in our goal capability, which means people can interact in their goals with each other and in a fun way to be a certain extent. We've got GIFs in there as well, so you can put GIFs in to make goals fun. So it's about harnessing the tooling that we're providing to give people, I suppose, information around what's expected and what they're actually doing in their roles and leveraging that information. But it's not looking into personals, not looking into email or anything outside of the HR or people management domain.
Right. Early on, you touched on about the people performance. Often it comes down to how people feel like they are being treated. And I think I can resonate that really well because I think that is really about building that trust for the people to feel like what is the safety net in terms of they can innovate and they can try to do outside of the boundary. And for my research, it is one thing that you have built that into your product features of the IntelliHR, i.e. in building that culture and the community. And then especially in terms of like how the manager or the leader are treating their employee. So I suppose the question I put you at is then from the software perspective and IntelliHR, how could a company use that to build a culture then?
Yeah, I think one, it's an area I'm really passionate about, and managing culture, shaping culture, or understanding your own culture is a really difficult thing. And obviously, there's a lot of frameworks out there that businesses can use to assess, you know, where they're at. But I kind of personally bring it back to a bunch of different, more simple things. So one, culture is the group of people that you actually employ, and it's the values that you actually make decisions by, not only as a leader within the business, but all of the people. And you certainly have both formal and informal cultures at different times as well within businesses. You know, people having an understanding of their why, and I'm a big fan of Simon Sinek's work, really actually gives people, I suppose, purpose around why they're at work and how they actually contribute and actually sort of fit in. Community and inclusion is really important as well. And I know, you know, diversity is a really big factor, but inclusion is the most important thing to me personally. So looking at work practices that actually help shape, reinforce, but also maintain things that are actually important around your culture. And in our business, for example, there's just a number of things that, you know, I find are really important for us to keep us together as a business, whether we're distributed or in the same place, in a manner of speaking. So, you know, once a month we do a business update. You know, every second week we're doing a showcase of what work is happening within the business. So, you know, we find opportunities to bring everybody together as a community when we're working through things, you know, such as strategy, finding a way to include everybody so everybody actually has a voice and everybody can actually contribute. I do accept that we're a rare type of organization. We're a technology company and you know, we're very agile and we're moving quite fast with everything we actually do. But there's still the opportunity for every business to operate in a similar way, but just in their own way. The world of work is changing very fast and, you know, technology is enabling people to do more and become more knowledge workers versus administrative processes, in a manner of speaking. And again, I think it's businesses understanding how that's actually changing and actually harnessing the technologies to enrich the roles that people actually perform in their businesses and how they actually can contribute. But, you know, it does come back to values and it does come back to demonstrating them and sharing them. I think the global pandemic, you know, that everybody is going through right now is not only a major disruptor, but it's a major opportunity for businesses to launch themselves into a new way of working and a better way of working, leveraging the talents of all their organization to move forward.
I always believe that data analytics and technology are pure enabler. And they are about to enable the business performance. So in this case, the data and analytics is about enable the business performance. From your experience working in APRG as a consulting business and IntelliEdge as a software business, what are the key mistakes that the HR department could avoid when implementing the people analytics to drive the people performance?
I think it's not so much a mistake or anything like that. I think any piece of technology in the business has to have a purpose. There's no point putting something in just because it's the latest thing or, you know, it looks shiny at the end of the day. It's understanding what the challenges are or the problems the business is actually trying to solve and then basically assessing solutions and choosing solutions to best solve that problem. You know, so I think it's looking at not only the end customer, and when you look at every business is looking after their community are their customers, and they rely for sustainability to continue to be relevant to their customers. So generally thinking about the customer and then how their people are working and interacting with their customers is a very good place to start. You know, and I think quite famously, Richard Branson has said, look after your people and they'll look after your customers. So in that context, what are the things that you need to do to look after your people, to enable your people so that they can look after your customers? And it goes back to where we sort of started around expectations and just knowing why they're doing something and to what standard or what expectations the business has of them to do so. So from a HR perspective and thinking about technology, what are our priorities? What are the problems that we're actually trying to solve? And working in with the business strategy and what it's actually seeking to execute. And I think if you take that lens, you can't go wrong if you're selecting, you know, solutions and they may be technology, they may not be, to solve your problems, to advance your business moving forward.
That's great. Tell us about some of the success story that the company achieved using the HR analytic and your solution, and how much of those business outcome and workforce performance will improve?
Yeah, look, probably one of the ones that we're really proud of, and I won't say their name, but they're a large global household brand name. But when they came onto our platform, their score on Great Places to Work was 64%. And in the first year, they went from 64 to 85%, and the second year, 85 to 94% in terms of culture engagement with Great Places to Work. And that's a really massive achievement in terms of the rate of progression that they actually had. But in behind that, they actually managed to have have their best ever financial years on record. And it kind of goes to show that if you have a highly engaged workforce that's clearly aligned with your purpose and what you're actually there to do, then the business is going to be successful off the back of all of that. And that's one that always sort of stands out just because of the very big jumps. But when we look in behind that, when they came on to IntelliHR, there was low trust in the business and there was low visibility of performance or anything like that. Less than 20% of people were having a one-on-one catch-up with their leaders, and less than 40% of people actually had even goals set. So the 60% of people didn't know what was expected of them, and over 80% of people weren't even having any kind of feedback from their leader. And, you know, very quickly the system provided an easy way for people to get their goals set, know what's expected, so at least they could start moving in a direction that was actually supporting what the actual business was hoping, you know, they would actually go to work to do. And then the conversation started around, you know, the things that are important to the person and to their performance within the organization with their leader. So, you know, those things, they're very low hanging fruit, but they're very simple hygienic things. If you don't have a conversation with your leader, you're definitely not going to know what's expected of you. So you're kind of going really 50-50 if they're going to come to work and do something that the business would consider helpful to looking after their customers and serving their community. So that's a really good example. We've seen customers through our data analytics find problems that they didn't know existed. And attrition obviously is one of the most costliest things in business. If you're employing people, they come to work and they leave after a short period of time, you've never got a return on investment in onboarding them, on training them, deploying resources to support them. It really can become quite costly for businesses. So we've got a lot of diagnostic tools and a lot of analytics that serve up information so you can understand why attrition may be happening, where it's happening, and also understand the relative cost of all of that. And we have a customer who I think on an annual basis probably pay us about $40,000 for their subscription, but they found they had a $750,000 problem in attrition. And it was attrition in a particular area from a particular recruitment source that was turning over within, you know, probation in a short period of time. So giving tools to understand or, you know, what's happening, it will surface problems in the business are quite powerful. A couple of them that probably stand out, and just because of the significance of the shifts, but ultimately providing tools that people are happy to use that support them better in their roles always will equal to better performance for the business.
So it sounds like not only those tools are able to help them to understand the retention of the employee that they have, but also it could potentially help them to diagnostic in terms of the channel that it could come from, whether is it because of the certain channel that is not working, is it because of the people or the process involved is not working, and hence subsequently they are able to make a lot of those tweaks and changes to minimize and improve the retention.
Absolutely. If you can't see something, you can't deal with it. And again, today's business operates globally. And if you've got a workforce that's distributed around the world, centrally, there is no way for you to be able to assess or make sense of what actually may be happening in the field, so to speak. So you do really rely upon data and data analytics to be able to see trends, to be able to see problems as they arise, and be able to then explore right down to the depth of the particular data source. So it could be an exit survey from a team member or a leader feedback, and actually make sense of what's actually happening so you can take corrective action. So in this day and age, I think data is the new oil for business, and people data is definitely the new oil moving forward for every business. If they haven't got control over their people data, they could potentially be missing very important things that could be improvement opportunities within their business. It's very competitive, you know, today. So the person that's able to do things faster at a higher quality level longer is going to be the business that you know, is successful and certainly survives through these times. And, you know, we're constantly looking at our own technologies and looking at how we can improve processes that we've got, how we can go faster, do things at a higher quality level. And so as a result, we're a natural consumer of as many technologies out there as we possibly can. So anything that actually helps our team members be more successful, then, you know, we're certainly looking at them and looking to deploy them as quick as we can.
Early on, you talked about building the trust within the organization. I believe many of us have read about the research done by Google that they believe that the key factor of driving the people performance success is the trust of the employee or the staff. And that leads to my question, and that is how I learned a little bit more about the people analytics at Google from my reading last year, which is the Work Rules by Lazaro Bock.
Yes.
Do you implement any of these work rules suggested by Lazaro Bock?
Yeah, no, I will profess I've not read the book, but I have skimmed through the rules. And I would say I agree with a good chunk of those. I think the most important thing when it comes to trust is open communication, transparent communication. And, you know, like I was saying before, we're very open around the performance of our business, where we're doing well, where we're not doing well. We're a business that really runs on agile methodology. So, you know, as part of every process that we're doing retrospectives at the end of it. So talking openly around success and failures and being happy to fail, but fail fast is a really key thing in around our business. Personally, for trust, it's actually doing what you say you're going to do. It's quite basic at the end of the day. And I do see a lot of businesses that profess certain values and certain cultures. And so that's all good and well. And there could be some really exciting things. But when they make decisions and big decisions, they need to make sure that they uphold those values and those things that they actually profess that they actually are. So a little bit, you know, just before we were talking about the pandemic, it's been the single most biggest event for the bringing together of cultures and businesses, the way leaders respond to this crisis and how they've actually looked after their people, how they've communicated with them, how they prioritize people first, really says a lot around the cultures and the values of businesses. And for what I've seen in around our customer groups is it's been a massive time for leaders to shine around showing strength and leadership, but also compassion and putting people and community first as we sort of gone through some very difficult and challenging times. And I think we've still got a little bit more. So the number one thing for me is always do what you say you're going to do. Be open and transparent and, you know, look after people. You know, obviously there's a whole bunch of other things in that book around, you know, hiring people better than you and not being afraid of that. And, you know, we employ a lot of genius people in our business, and, you know, it's actually collaborating and bringing people together. And I think everybody has something to contribute, and it's just making sure that you have organizational structures that actually support that. So hierarchies aren't really successful businesses in a fast-moving collaborating world. So organizational structure combined with, you know, transparency, combined with very strong values that are upheld and reinforced through decision making are really important to trust.
Thank you for sharing that. I would end this interview with my final question, which is, what is one book that you have read and thought it would have been better for your younger self to have?
I'll tell you what, there's actually two books. And, you know, when we talked about the transition and the evolution of Intelli HR, it was a book called Understanding Porter. And for the life of me, I'm trying to think now who the author was. But if you Google Understanding Porter, a very quick read, but it provides a framework to actually think about business differently. And Porter's Five Forces is a fantastic sort of model, but putting it in practical application is actually quite transformational. And it's an old book, but it's still a very good book. I do want to give you two. Malcolm Gladwell, he actually first got me very interested in around analytics when I actually look back at it and just looking at why things happen and how different things influence. And, you know, so that book as well was something that made me feel like anything is possible and I can achieve anything if I work hard enough. So they're the probably two books, and they're probably more personal versus anything sort of groundbreaking. But yeah, they're quite meaningful books in my life when I look back.
Thank you so much for sharing those. I will probably get a link from you so that I can share with the listener. And once again, thank you so much, Rob. Has been a pleasure to talk a little bit more about the people analytics. I think this, to me, is also not just the people analytics from the HR perspective, but rather is about the people analytics from the overall arching organization aspect of looking to how to use people analytics to drive the performance. So it's really great.
I was going to say, and add to that, I think it's yeah, people analytics, but it's actually data ultimately. And what data can we all use to make our lives, our roles, our contributions better? And there's a lot of data around us. And so it's just harnessing that the right way to make the most sense of it all.
Thank you, Rob.
Awesome. Thank you, Jason.